Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan.
I am Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
And I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN. We welcome you to the Monday morning edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. Our great friend Mitch Albom is in Haiti. He'll be back with us on Wednesday.
Say a prayer for him because of the country, because of the politics, because of the kids, because of everything that is going with the kidnappings. So if you find in your time today, say a prayer for Mitch and his kids.
And we must salute him. His book has soared to number one. His new book has soared to number one right off the bat. But of course, he has an incredibly devoted international following. Well, we may have something less than an international following, but we have a following. And we're here to tell you that it was yet another fascinating, fun filled football weekend and one of the greatest football seasons, I think, combined that I'm in my lifetime. I love this football season, and I'm not even a football guy.
Guess what? At this point in the season, we keep talking about this. You do not have a favorite in either conference.
No,
you do not have a favorite to be in the favorites to any team to be in the big game, and that's why it's so much fun.
Well, we had a marquee. We kind of, by consensus, the marquee game yesterday was going to be played in Kansas City. And it wasn't a great game, but it's a significant game, you know, right, Mike? I mean, we saw
Bobby. The most significant part of that game was not the baby steps that the Chiefs' offense and Patrick Mahomes continue to take. The story of this game was Steve Spagnuolo's defense, mm-hmm. because. I mean, what have we been hearing, Bob? What have we been hearing for years about the Cowboys, about their offensive line, and they didn't protect Dak Prescott for more than a couple of plays at a time all day yesterday. The Cowboys, I mean, Bob, they don't even score a touchdown in this game. This is supposed to be a big statement game for them, mm-hmm. and the ones who made the statement were the guys on defense for the Chiefs.
Yep, that's true, I don't have the numbers on the top of my head, but I saw some numbers yesterday about how they have progressed during the season. I mean, in the beginning, what were we all slandering? We were slandering them. I was right there.
I don't think it was slander, Bob. there's slander and pride.
All right,
false,
you're right.
Criticism.
I was knocking them, but the defense was putrid, and you know, blah blah blah. Well, guess what? No longer, and they certainly asserted themselves. And it just went if there was a point in the season when you thought maybe that you could start, you know, they were not a fraud, but if it was over for them, when the window would close, well, guess what? Our window's open, baby. And of course, it is for many people in both conferences, as Mike just said.
You know, Bob, when you look at where they are right now, suddenly they're 7-4. Suddenly they're back in first place, and they would have had an even bigger lead if my guy Justin Herbert didn't take the Chargers down the field at the end of the game. You know, we'll get to the Titans game because all of Bob's suspicions about them played out yesterday against the Houston Texans, of all people. Bob, it sounded nuts, okay, mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago when you suggested that the Patriots might be a contender to go to the Super Bowl this year. And guess what? Guess who's in first place in the AFC East? Oh, wait, I know. The Patriots are.
Yeah,
guess who's got all kinds of issues all of a sudden? Oh, I know, the Bills. And one of the fun parts, Bobby, of the rest of the regular season are going to be these two games that the Patriots and Bills have left.
Oh, absolutely. But guess who the Patriots play right off the bat next week? Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
And
Good time to get them.
And but there was a little bit of a mixed blessing day for the Patriots as they sat home and watched the game. As Belichick sat home 3 miles from where I'm sitting, I trust he was home enjoying himself in the afternoon. He lives in my town, and you got to root for the Bills. You got to root against the Bills, and that's fine. But by the way, the Colts are reminding you that they're not exactly dead either. They're in the middle of all this thing.
They have had some heartbreak losses, the Colts. The Colts actually ought to be better than they are. And what they did yesterday is they beat the Bills this badly with Wentz giving them hardly anything through the air. He didn't have to because of the way Jonathan Taylor was running the ball.
Jonathan Taylor, that... that was as enjoyable and all around for me watching him run with that football. And it was as enjoyable and all around performance as I think you can almost have. And as a running back, because he ran over people, he ran around people. And oh, by the way, for fun, he soared over them. Was that one of the great leaps?
Yep. Yep.
You've ever seen? I wasn't ready for it. You don't see it too often anymore. You know, you don't. I mean, it used to be more of a goal line thing than it is. Maybe it's because defenses are figured. Anyway, oh my God, did he leap into that end zone?
Bob, what is it about Wisconsin and running backs? Okay. By the way, Jonathan Taylor is still just 22 years old, and the kid who tried to run for 300 yards on Saturday, I'm digressing, but only to make a point here, mm-hmm. Braylon Allen, Bob, he's 17 years old.
I know. When I heard that one, I did hear that Saturday. Oh, I said, oh, wow, that's great. Oh, so back to the Colts.
Let's just, before we leave, the Chiefs and the Cowboys, okay? Bob, let me just put it to you this way, because I know you've loved the Cowboys all year, okay? What was more striking to you yesterday, okay? The way the Cowboys lost or the way the Chiefs won?
I guess it was the former, the way the Cowboys lost. You know, not generating any – not getting
Bob, they looked helpless on offense. They,
I know.
They couldn't run. They couldn't pass. They couldn't protect. And, Bobby, that is not a prescription – for success in the National Football League.
Okay, if we're looking for intrigue, if we're looking for competition, if we're looking for juxtapositions, if we're looking for anything, here's the next four games for the New England Patriots as they sit at their perch now, a half a game ahead of Buffalo. The next 4 weeks are Tennessee at home, at Buffalo, by 5 weeks, at Indianapolis, and home with Buffalo. So it's all, you know, so you can say about all three teams, all their fates are in their own hands, right?
I wasn't quite done with the Cowboys and the Chiefs, okay?
Right. All right, fine.
Bob, never discount, I talk about this all the time, okay? And I am going to be surprised if Mike McCarthy is coaching the Cowboys next year. Never discount the McCarthy factor, because he will get them to play down and not up, okay? And Bob, you saw him on the sideline yesterday. He looked lost, okay? And listen, I've known Steve Spagnuolo a long time. He's a great guy. He's a great coordinator, Super Bowl winning coordinator with the Giants, okay? But that game for the Dallas Cowboys, Bob, you can't look at that game and take them seriously at this point in time, even in a wide open year, as a serious contender to go back to and play in a Super Bowl for the first time in 25 years.
No, I mean, it's. I have to revise my opinion, because I, you're right. I was on the bandwagon and said, okay, this. And I've been, believe me, and that's speaking from the perspective of someone who's been a Cowboy skeptic for many years. This year, they I thought maybe that they had won me over, and they did. But that's that. Well, anyway, so that.
All right, Bob. Let's talk about. There were two incredibly fun games. We've already kind of alluded to Chargers versus Steelers, which was awesome last night. Just as a show, it was great. Packers-Vikings turned out to be a great game. We're now hearing about this, what sounds like a serious toe injury, unspecified what it actually is, with Aaron Rodgers. But somehow with that, he managed to scrape by with nearly 400 passing yards yesterday and four touchdowns. And Kirk Cousins and the Vikings beat them. But Bob, I don't know how much you watched of that game. The Vikings kept falling out of trees yesterday and landing on their feet. There were two times that the Green Bay Packer defenders just happened to turn the wrong way, and they turned into big plays for the Vikings. And then, Bob, did you see the interception? Because I thought it was an interception. I did not see the ball touch the ground.
Oh, well, and live, I thought it was an interception, but I think it was clear that the ball touched the ground.
I guess it was. I thought the ball rolled over his leg when he was on the ground.
No, I think the ball touched the ground, Mike. I think it was a proper call.
But
I'll answer your question. I flipped onto it in time to see them score the go-ahead touchdown, you know, the go-ahead touchdown, before Rodgers did what Rodgers does. He, on the first, in case anybody doesn't know, after Minnesota goes ahead.
Oh, my God.
With a little bit over 2 minutes to go. And then the kickoff is a touchback. First and 10 at their own 25. Rodgers fades back, and there's a 75-yard touchdown
Scantling.
Pass.
Bob, I'm telling you, he's once again, Rodgers is in the star-making process with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And yeah, they come right back. But then to the Vikings' credit, and they're playing for their season at this point, okay? They're playing for their season, Bob. And now they're two games behind the Packers in the standings. So they have remained within spitting distance of them. That is a very big win. I am no Kirk Cousins fan, but he played great yesterday. He did. Right. He went toe-to-toe with Rodgers, and it was not only... Again, a very entertaining game, but it was more significant to the Vikings than it was to the Packers, don't you think?
I'd like to remind you before we expound on this Vikings extraordinarily weird season that we are brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or rental's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. I made an allusion to it earlier, but you can't say it enough. What an incredible year. They have had one game that was not decided by... only one game that wasn't a one-score game. No,
they're talented on offense, Bob. They're talented, and this was the first time, really, you know, maybe since opening night or a day, that the Packers' defense got lit up. I mean, and they did get lit up yesterday. I mean, they've been playing awesome defense. They're coming off a shutout of the Seahawks, which the more the Seahawks go on, the less impressive it is that you shut them out, okay?
Yeah.
But that was the first warning sign for the Packers defense. But again, they're 8-3. They're in very, very good shape. And, Bob, let's switch to the Cardinals now, who have they have not only tread water while waiting for Kyler Murray to get better. They keep winning with Colt McCoy at quarterback.
They keep winning and setting, and they're surviving. They're keeping their head above water. And now they got a bye, and then it could be possibly he could be back after that. And now off they go. They've done it. And you have to give Colt McCoy. He's been
Bob, 35 completions yesterday, 328 yards, two touchdown passes. One of them, I don't know if you saw it.
No.
After the snap ended up on the ground, he picked it up and threw a touchdown pass.
Good for him. No, that's good. Well,
and James Conner has turned out to be an extremely important player for them in the backfield. He looks like a kid again. And, you know, you wondered what was going to happen with Kyler Murray. And you wondered, you know, Bob, I was wondering if they were being too cautious with him because they didn't want to let go of the stranglehold they had on the division, except, again, they keep winning. They're 9-2. They have the best record in the sport. And when he does come back, you know, maybe they are, Bob. I keep thinking of the Packers-Cardinals game. Maybe they are the closest thing we have to a favorite to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, but not by much. But if they are, okay. You know, if they are, that's okay. But, I mean, good for them, though. The franchise is not exactly... You know, had extraordinary success. And so good for the fans there.
But Bob, Well, go ahead.
One little anomaly. I love oddities in all sports. And when did you know that the 49ers had a drive that lasted over 13 minutes and resulted in a field goal?
They've become the vogue now. They have become the vogue in the national football. The 49ers, you got to give Kyle Shanahan credit, okay? And the players. Because they looked like this was going to be another lost season, okay? And you know, people say, wait, you took Trey Lance and you're going to ride with Garoppolo? Well, Bob, you're right. They can run the ball. They can run the ball. Now, I don't know. You know, it's probably too late for them. They would have needed some help and Colt McCoy not to play good to make any kind of run at the Cardinals. But, Bobby, the 49ers are real again. They look quite real. I mean, I know they're playing the Seahawks, and, boy, I'm starting to wonder if both the coach and the quarterback are going to want out of Seattle after this season.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't see the thing with Carroll left the press conference and then came back.
I heard an allusion to it. I didn't see it or follow up on it that I had heard that he did come back. So, okay, I heard he left the press conference at all. And apparently Baker Mayfield didn't do a press conference either, apparently, yesterday. So, anyway.
I mean, it's, you know, Things were never the same. We talk about this all the time, Robert. Things were never the same in Seattle after Malcolm picked that ball up, picked that ball off in University of Phoenix Stadium. It's Bob, were you at that game?
No, I was in my proverbial easy chair with the
friends.
Well, guys, you remember in the summer, Russell Wilson, he wanted out.
Tyler.
He wanted out of Seattle. Now everything that he was complaining about is coming to fruition in the season.
Tyler, that day when the interception was made, when they did not hand the ball off to Marshawn, when Belichick won a game of chicken with Pete Carroll by not calling a timeout, okay, and forcing him into a situation on third down where he had to make a decision on whether to throw, okay, all that stuff, okay, it goes deathly quiet in the press box after the interception as we're all trying to process what had just happened. Until one person stood up and said the following, okay, what the F just happened here? That was me. Bob, I swear to God, Bob, it's probably as big a laugh as I've ever gotten. I said, what the F just happened there? Well, you know what happened there? The history of two football teams changed in that moment because the Patriots and Belichick and Touchdown Tom kept going, and the Seahawks have never been the same. They were about knocking on the door to win two Super Bowls in a row in three attempts at that time, and guess what? They've never been the same. And Bob, I know it sounds crazy, and Carroll's probably too low. I keep thinking that he might go back to Los Angeles and say, I was so happy here.
Yeah, well, that we're going to get to that when we get to colleges in a while about the whole juxtaposition of the Michigan State and Mel Tucker and all that. But anyway, no,
Bob, it's so good. By the way, we'll get to college, but before we do, you have to say, Bob, it's lucky that the boosters got Mel Tucker locked in. Because you wouldn't want to lose him after a performance like that against Ohio State. I'm standing by my position on that, Robert, by the way. It's money laundering. It's the college football equivalent. Okay, but back to the NFL. Okay,
putting a wrap on the Patriots and Seahawks, my reaction after realizing what had just happened was, who's Malcolm Butler? I didn't know this man existed on the earth until that moment.
And they had practiced the play.
We learned that, but
against that play.
Anyway. All right,
Bob. All right, a couple more things from yesterday's game. Okay, and we'll randomly pick and choose these games. We talked about the 49ers. Talked about the Packers. Okay, let me tell you something. I believe the Washington football team does not have to look any further for a quarterback than the guy they have in there now, and that is Taylor Heinicke. Bob, he is tough, he is fun, he is creative, he knows how to win the game, and yesterday, on a day that was set up for Cam Newton to make a heroic return to Charlotte and win the game, The Washington football team wouldn't let him. The defense, even without Chase Young, stepped up on the last drive. And Bob, Taylor Heinicke can play. We saw what he did against Touchdown Tom and the Bucks the week before. Yep. Yesterday, he made just enough plays. And you know when he's really good, Bob, on third down? He's a really good third down player. Three more touchdown passes. And at 4-6, their season isn't over. It's absolutely not over.
No, because, we've identified the nature of this season, trying to not only just who's going to win the Super Bowl or get into it, but who's even going to get in the playoffs. And so many teams still have hope and can do things to help themselves, and they're one of them. So that's good. Yeah, no, I must say I was not prepared for this phenomenon of Taylor Heinicke, but we have to
Which
start.
Began in the playoffs when they had to start him against the Bucks, and he made the game competitive. The Ravens bomb. They scraped by against the Bears yesterday on the day when Justin Fields got hurt. And with a quarterback, all right, you got me, Tyler and Bob, if you knew Tyler Huntley was a member of the National Football League, okay, that he was the backup to Lamar Jackson. Because I kept thinking that Robert Griffin probably wanted to get on a plane and get a uniform back on because he'd been backing up. But they did just enough to win, and they did just enough to stay 7-3. And Bob, the Ravens are one of the mystery guests of the season. I'm just not sure, even when Lamar is out there, just how good they actually are.
I know. There was a point earlier in the year when I put the bullet on them. You know, so there's the growth stock for me right now. You know,
but yeah, but of course,
I thought, because I always have a healthy respect for their defense, and of course Jackson, one of the many people who we have used the three letters in succession, the M, V, and P at one point or other during the season, was and we're all marveling over Jackson after watching one of his spectacular performances, and so they're still there, right? They're 7-3. They're top of the division. They're still in the mix. They're going to have him.
Eagles, Bob, the Eagles with Jalen Hurts,
they
keep hanging in there, and he made a couple of runs yesterday. One in particular that were, dare I say, Robert, Lamar Jackson-like.
Yep. No, three touchdowns rushing for him, and the other one, nice little sprint to the flag at the end at the pylon in the end zone too. But
I like Hurts as a more like a Russell Wilson comparative. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Stockier. No, you know what?
He's so dynamic. What a pick for them! What a move by them!
It turned out to be a great pick. And you know what? Right now, this minute, even though the Dolphins won with Tua yesterday, Jalen Hurts, who lost his job at Alabama because of Tua, is probably playing the position better than Tua is playing it for the Miami Dolphins.
Yes. Tua did get a W yesterday, but then again,
it's against the Jets. Bob, it's against the Jets.
I was going to say, but there's a but attached to it, you know, an asterisk attached to it. But no, I think you're right about that.
All right. Couple more things on pro football. Then we got a lot to talk about and unpack in college football. All right, Robert.
Yeah.
How alarmed are you at the way the Buffalo Bills have played football over the last month when you compare it to the way they came out of the box and the expectations that were quite reasonable that this was their year?
I'm, of course, coming from the viewpoint of, you know, Foxborough and Boston and points of New England, I'm rather pleased with the way, but they're not the same team. And now Josh Allen has to sit up there, whatever, yesterday and say, this isn't who we are. Well, we want to, you know, we're not sure who you are anymore, frankly.
That's a very good point, Bobby. Okay. At some point, you wish you'd been in the room and say, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you?
No, this is not who we are. I mean, it's not just that, you know, they were home in northern western New York weather against a dome team and got thrashed. Now, we've already talked about how great Jonathan Taylor was, but the fact is that 41-15 is
All right, the Monday night game, Bob. By the way, before we get to the Monday night game and then college football, I want to remind everybody that we are sponsored by Fight Camp. One great thing about working out is that it can also be a real stress reliever. If you choose the right workout, that is. If you know a fitness lover who's looking for a new, different, exciting workout that's also a stress reliever, here's the answer. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world to your home and makes it fun. Learn to box and kickbox with access to world-class programming, elite trainers, premium equipment, and smart technology that makes your workout an interactive experience. There are thousands of classes with new ones added every single week, from beginner to advanced, with real-time data to show your progress. They provide all the equipment, and since there's no heavy weights or spinning wheels, it's even great for kids. Now is the best time to get your Fight Camp. Take advantage of their holiday deal going on right now. If you purchase this November, you'll get an additional pair of gloves for free. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/reporters to get an additional pair of gloves for free all November. Go to joinfightcamp.com/reporters, joinfightcamp.com/reporters. Bob, the Giants actually, who are 3-6, okay, but of course stories are already being written about their path to the playoffs, okay? This might be as big a regular season game as they have played in years and years since they hit the skids. The Bucks look vulnerable. The Giants, you know, the people got ridiculously excited because they beat sudden Sam Darnold and the Panthers, okay? Mm-hmm. But this, in an odd way, it's as meaningful a game for the Giants tonight as it is for the Bucks to right the ship.
Well, yeah, as the Giants try to attain, take the
relevance. Relevance.
Right, attain respectability. Right, relevance. Become relevant, you know, absolutely. It is, and I know already I saw one back page headline today, you know, time to actually win one of these games. You know, win. No moral victories. You know, none of that crap. We got to win the game. And you mentioned vulnerability. I think that's a proper word to describe. It's not time to bail on the Buccaneers or anything. But there's a concern if I'm a Buccaneers fan.
You've seen over the years after the game against the Washington football team, cranky, crabby Tom.
Yeah. Right. Right. I've seen that one. I've seen that one. And so, you know, he said that's a barometer there, I think. But it is an important game for them to stop the bleeding. There is bleeding. I mean, I'm not saying it's a gaping wound or, they're on life support. But there's bleeding. They got to open the Band-Aid box and they got to stop it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to switch to college football, Bob. And let's just tee it up this way. There's a lot to talk about. Okay. But there is no way that this committee, if Cincinnati wins out, can keep them out of the playoffs. If an unbeaten Cincinnati team, where they're sitting right now in number five, they have to move up. They cannot come out and try to explain to us in some tortured way why they stay at number five after Oregon gets beat the way it does by Utah. Okay? No. And I never thought Oregon was any better than Cincinnati anyway. Bob, if you can't get them, if this doesn't get them into the tournament this year, then don't even consider that conference going forward. Just take them out of the ratings. Take them out of the committee room because it would be unjust.
The thing that makes it should make it, quote unquote, easy for the committee is the interesting fact that the signature victory of Cincinnati happens to be against the Fighting Irish in Fighting Irish land. I mean, so how can they look any of us in the eye if they ever put Notre Dame ahead of an undefeated Cincinnati?
No, Bob, all right. I've got the AP rankings, which have nothing to do with what goes on in the room, okay? These are the most recent. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Alabama, which ended up in a one-score game against Arkansas on Saturday, Cincinnati 4, Notre Dame 5, Michigan 6, Oklahoma State 7. And I don't believe Mississippi's already lost two games. Baylor's lost two games. Oklahoma has been greatly devalued. Bob and Tyler and I were talking about this before we started the podcast. That win you just referenced, Bob, in South Bend by Cincinnati against Notre Dame is better than any victory Notre Dame has this season. And I think Notre Dame's good, by the way, Bob.
I do too. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. And what Cincinnati, We're all speculating on because, you know, what is really going on in the heads of each and every one of the committee people and what their biases are and what their knowledge base is and what their druthers are and everything else. But I think one thing that I assumed was that the committee wanted to see if they're going to have Cincinnati go out and kick some butt. They hadn't been doing it. They've been winning.
And they did it against SMU.
But they did it against the team that was identified as the best, the one threat they had in the rest of the season was SMU, and they beat them 48-14. They did that, and so that's a checkbox. Oh, not the checkbox. We assume that that is something that the committee was wanting to see. Well, they got it now. They can't take that away from them. They can't take beating Notre Dame at Notre Dame away from them unless they're going to tell us that there's some mitigating circumstance because it was early in the season, which I think is bull.
Bob, let's speculate for 1 second, Bobby. Let's speculate for what. Say Alabama does lose the SEC championship game, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they go to two losses. Who would they value more at that point? Forget about, take Cincinnati out of it, because in the AP, Notre Dame's sitting at five now. They have just slowly made their way back up through the rankings, okay? Would they take a two-loss Alabama team over a one-loss Notre Dame team, Bob? And how much will Notre Dame's priors in the tournament be held against them?
I think, this is on both our parts, this is just total wild rampant speculation.
Yeah, well,
Alabama's loss to Georgia, which would be the loss we're talking about, where, you know, overtime or 28-27 or, you know, 31-28 if it were an epic game or a clash and it was just a matter of, flipping the coin about who was the better team, I can see them getting that respect and a two-win Alabama team getting that kind of, that kind of break in that kind of game. But if they lose a conventional game to Georgia, then there's no.
And we've got Michigan, Robert. We have Michigan, Ohio State, in the big house on Saturday.
Yes, we do.
And people, I hear people saying, well, if they're ever going to get him, they're going to get him this year. Except, Bob, except off of what we saw on Saturday afternoon when CJ Bernard Stroud the fourth, a 20-year-old, Bob, do you know he's from Rancho Cucamonga, California, by the way?
Where I've seen a baseball game.
Okay.
Yes, I did not.
Has any college quarterback looked better than Stroud did on Saturday against Michigan State? And Bob, it took one game for Walker, the Michigan State running back, to get into the Heisman conversation. One bad game to get him out of the conversation. And all of a sudden, CJ Stroud's the front runner.
You mean with
it was a perfect half, Bob. It was a perfect half of quarterbacking.
My favorite part of that game, the favorite aspect of that game, by far. Mel Tucker, they win the toss. Let's go, Belichick. We'll defer. We'll get that ball to start the third quarter.
Yeah, sure.
And they did get that ball to start the third quarter. Unfortunately, the score when they got that ball to start the third quarter was 49-0.
Yeah. But thank God, as I said before, Bob, thank God Michigan State has locked up Mel for the next decade. Okay,
those of us on the outside, what else can we do but laugh? Laugh at SC. Just you know, if this thing is true, it's just, you know, I don't know. Anyway, it's interesting to see how this all plays out, but that is not the way that you sell yourself to those SC boosters.
And Bob, again, Ohio State, which did lose to Oregon at home, but it seems like it happened in another season. Okay, it's in the rear, right? It's in the rear view mirror.
Oh, wait, yep.
However, they look like the best team on Saturday against a Michigan State team that had risen to 6 or 7 or whatever the heck it was in the polls. Bob, I was thinking about this every time I see Georgia nicely sitting there at number one. Has less of a spotlight over time been put on a number one team than we hardly ever talk about Georgia, and they just keep going. They just keep giving teams bad beatings. They stay at number one. This is Kirby's time, all that stuff. Okay, Bob?
Yep.
But I'm not sure I've watched a whole game of theirs this season.
You know, it's funny. It is sort of in some way a sign of respect that, oh yeah, well, they're number one. So now that we've gotten Alabama's vulnerabilities, you know, identified this year, and then Alabama, you know, proved themselves vulnerable by losing to A&M. Anyway, yeah, you're right. Nobody's talking about it except that Georgia. Yeah, Georgia's won. Now we'll go from there. Good point.
So Bob, you can't when you watch. Oh, when you watch Ohio State play the way it did against, you know, a team that had been a serious team like a blink
seven.
Ago.
It was 4-7.
Okay.
That's what it was.
When you see them, when you see Ohio State play that way, it's very difficult to make yourself say, if not now, when, for the Harbaughs. On Saturday, but
I'm not saying it
to be a good game. Don't you want it to?
Yes.
I don't want. It's not interesting if Ohio State continues to beat them every year.
I know. Well, I'm building, you know, my day around it. 12 noon. That's where I know where I'll be and watching that game and that. And then, you know, if it turns out to be a dud, I haven't spoiled the whole day. But no, I want it to be a good game. But yeah, I mean, I don't have an emotional. You know, I don't have any favorite in this game.
What happens? All right, say Michigan wins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Michigan will then have absolved themselves, as you know, we products of Jesuit education would say, of the way they lost the Michigan State game, okay? It's impossible for me to believe that a win over this Ohio State team wouldn't move Michigan up into the fours, right?
Well, yeah, but except that
would they then jump Notre Dame?
I'm looking at a page.
You have last week's CFP? Wait, college football. Do you have last week's CFP? Wait,
no.
Notre Dame was behind Michigan, right? Yeah, they were. They were.
Okay. Well, in that case, you know that. But I'm looking and I see. I got CFP. I got Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and then I got a space, and then I go Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Michigan, and I'm, you know, and that those are the six, right?
But if Michigan wins, what happens to Ohio State? That's what I'm asking.
I know.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's now suddenly.
And they become a two losser.
They
Bob.
Have two losses. Oh, I know. No, I think. I think it's going to be very interesting to be on that committee at that moment. Oh no, we got some interesting possibilities.
And Bob, will die on this hill with Cincinnati, okay? But they've done everything you're supposed to do. They played who they played, and when they were asked to step up on the road against what was then an undefeated Notre Dame team, they did. They did. And I never thought that Oregon was any better than Cincinnati. I keep referencing it, Bob, but I think it's relevant to this conversation. They did play Georgia in the Peach Bowl, okay? And obviously, Georgia's gotten better. Cincinnati's also gotten better. And I think Georgia beat them on, what, a 53-yard field goal? And if you watched any of that game, and I did, those sides look pretty much even in that game. So it's not like, it's not like they're playing, Cincinnati somehow got relegated to the second division. You know, they're a legit team with a great coach, a terrific quarterback, and they have done everything to be in the top four. And if they get to the top four and they win out, Bob, you cannot keep them out of the playoffs.
You would say that. And I you know, no rational, no fair-minded person would ever do it, I think. We both
isn't
agree
this,
with that.
Isn't this why the committee kind of exists, to get Cincinnati in there? I mean, you know what I mean?
It makes the sport better. Tyler, like, you're right, because it makes it more like the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, the committee was always told, oh, hey, we're going to have people talking about this. We're not going to rely on a system of numbers just to you know, blanket here. 1-2's playing, you know, this is, we're going to have a chance to have a team.
They're big eye test guys, Tyler.
Yeah,
they
are big eye test guys. And I just, you know, you have, like you said, they've done everything that you could want. They've done it a couple years in a row now. I mean, they have to be in this. If they win out, they have to be. Otherwise, what's the point of the committee?
Yeah,
otherwise, you have the same suspects in there every year.
By the way, did either of you watch Oregon and Utah?
Yeah,
they looked
terrible.
Oregon
for half. For half.
They can't throw the ball.
That was a beatdown. Period.
They were not competitive almost from the jump, and so they're out. Okay, they're 100% out. And I keep saying this because I have friends who are big in the Wisconsin athletic program. Okay, Bob and Tyler, if they beat Minnesota and they get into the championship game, even though Mertz is he's a theme park ride. Okay. This kid, Braylon Allen, he has changed the way you look at Wisconsin. Even if it's Ohio State, and I could be dead wrong, and Ohio State could do to Wisconsin what they did to Michigan State. Bob, Wisconsin got off to a 1-3 start, and they are legit now. They are legit.
Yes, I know. I know you have been selling us that, you know, and properly so, I think, for weeks. Yeah, they're good.
And nobody can tackle this kid or catch him. I mean, time you heard
of
a 17-year-old college football star?
Yeah, that's something. That is really something.
So anyway, it'll be very interesting on Tuesday night to see what our friends in the committee. And Bob, let us now switch to a sport that you have spent a great deal of your life writing about, and it puts you into the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Bobby, what the hell was LeBron thinking last night?
Well, I'm more interested in what Isaiah Stewart was thinking, frankly. I don't know what LeBron was thinking. For people who don't know, they were jostling for a rebound at a free throw, and LeBron, there's no other way to put it. He hit him with a fist, right? And the eye.
I heard elbow, but it wasn't an elbow. It was a fist.
At first, you assumed it was an elbow because that's what generally is but it turns out it was a fist, and it caused open up the eye, and eventually were 5 stitches. Okay, Isaiah Stewart was angry. Understandably, Isaiah Stewart was angry. But Mike, and I have seen, you know, a lot of disruptions in the league over the years. I was watching this thing. I didn't see it in real time. I've seen it this morning many times. Watching this thing, it was as terrifying a sight of a large, potent, forceful young man out of control and almost unable to be subdued by countless people as he raged and wanted to try to go after, not, of course, it was going after the king. That makes it even worse. Mike, he was terrifying. He was terrifying.
I've got it up on my screen right now, Bob. There's a lot of people trying to control that young man.
Yes.
Okay. And Bob, again, you know, it was a cheap shot from LeBron. Okay. But we've seen worse under the basket. We have seen far worse.
And LeBron tried to defuse it right away. He's like, my bad. Like, he wasn't trying, you know, there was no malicious there.
So, you know, that's why I don't understand why Stewart was so, you know, just was so uncontrollably angry. If LeBron, in fact, was trying to, you know, say, hey,
Bob, I just watched it. When Stewart breaks through like three different attempts to stop him, mm-hmm. I wanted to say, okay, kid, you got the first down. You got the first down. You broke enough tackles.
I mean,
you moved the chains. But it was for about, what would you say, in real time, like a minute and a half? It was really scary.
He's listed at 250. He's 6'9", 250. And they couldn't control that young man. And, you know, now I'm going to go back. I identified him in college at Washington. I liked him. Anyway, I'm just saying, he was, for people who don't know necessarily, he was the first round pick a year ago. He was a 16th pick in the draft. He plays 20-ish minutes a game. He's averaging 7 points and seven rebounds. He's going to be in this league a long time as an auxiliary big man. But that's... was just terrifying, and I'd like to hear from him. Why was he so incredibly?
And it was on a free. It all started on a rebounding throw.
Was there prior?
What happened before that?
Because we go back to the famous Tanjanovich and Kermit Washington. You know, it all started because of Kevin Cornert. You know, there was something that started it off.
Yeah,
set it off. But I don't know what prompted LeBron to react that way in the millions of minutes he's played in the NBA. Was there something that kid had done to him earlier that he said, "I'm going to teach him a lesson," or something? I don't know. I have no idea.
All right, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the NBA today. It has been an extremely interesting start to the season. Okay, and I mean the Warriors won last night with Steph probably playing the worst game he'll play all year. I mean he made nothing, and Bob Poole has become a force. I don't know what happens to him when Klay comes back. If the shots are still going to be there, but Poole's become a force.
Now, Poole's going to have to reconcile, you know, assuming that Klay comes back as 80 or 85% of his old self, Poole's going to have to reconcile himself to be a tremendous sixth man type. But he has been instrumental in their record this year, absolutely positively, as has Wiggins. But Poole, and I couldn't have told you, I mean, you vaguely remember him in college, but no, I couldn't have told you anything about him. And I've been paying attention to him this year. And meanwhile, we got to salute those Phoenix Suns who have won 12 in a row.
Tough to come back from what happened to them, Bob. It is. It's tough to come back from losing the finals, and they have played great. But when I talk to you, I just want to tell you about Steph, okay?
Yeah.
So Poole goes for 33. Wiggins goes for 32. And Bob, that was a great pickup. Wiggins was a great pickup, okay? Yeah. They win on a night when Steph, who's been bothered by a hip, in all fairness, because I think he's been playing at a higher level than at any point in his career, okay? 37 minutes, 2 for 10, 1 for 6 from 3-point range. 8 assists, but guess what? He plus 19 while he was on the court, and they're 15-2. They are 15-2, yeah. And they are going to get Klay back. And Bob, it is a good thing for the sport. It is a good thing for the sport because right now Steph is the one. It's not Durant. It's not LeBron. It's Steph. Bobby, I wrote a column yesterday about the Knicks being one pick away from him.
Yeah.
They were one pick away. And by the way, when you look at that draft and you look at the guys who were picked ahead of him, the only one worth that, Harden was third in that draft. To beat from UConn, the big kid, was number two. Johnny Flynn of Syracuse went ahead of him. Ricky Rubio went ahead of Steph.
And wasn't it back-to-back guards, Rubio, and then...
I think it was Flynn.
Flynn and Rubio. Yeah, it was like something so stupid. Yeah.
Wow.
By the way, 15-2 is the best record in the league, guys. Who would have thought that?
And how about the Bulls? How about the Bulls who beat the Knicks last night? Bob, apparently, if I'm following the coverage in New York, okay, apparently a lot of people have pumped the brakes on the trip down to the Canyon of Heroes for our Knicks.
Yeah, they have. They have. And you know, all of a sudden, you know, Tibbs' personality is suddenly becoming an issue, right? Is it as usual?
But the Bulls, you know, with LaVine, they're kind of fun, and they have the best record in the Eastern Conference. And you know what? The Nets, Bob, do you think Kyrie's going to play this year?
You're asking me to predict the most unpredictable human being on the planet. Yes, eventually, I think, if I had to bet.
And one more thing, and then we'll get to party shots. Okay, one more thing. Bob, did you see the Washington Wizards breaking out to an 11-5 start this year and being a half game out of the best record in the conference?
Absolutely no. Not at all.
And Bob, by the way, we're sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Bob, I forgot that Wes Unseld Jr. was coaching that team.
Well, I was made aware of it, reminded of that last week, and that's that. I'm happy for him. And by the way, we have to say farewell to Luke Walton. No surprise at all. No. And another person whose job security is a little bit precarious is in Boston tonight. The Rockets and Steven Silas, and they've lost 14 straight. I wouldn't think that
it's not sustainable. The kid got dealt such a bad hand.
Awful
and
hand.
Bob and I are very awful partial hand. To the Silas family because for both of us, Paul Silas is one of the great figures we've ever come across covering sports. Bob knew him better than I, but I knew him pretty damn well. And it's just a shame. They're 1-15. And I think you're absolutely right, Bob. I think he's going over the side.
I don't see how he's going to lose last season. It's a shame. He deserves a better fate than this. Anyway.
All right. Listen, it's time for our parting shots. Bob, we're so lucky with this podcast, okay? That we have interesting sponsors come along, and this week's parting shots are brought to you by Fight Camp. Take advantage of their holiday deals going on right now. If you purchase this November, you'll get an additional pair of gloves for free. Ryan is always, 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 ever since I've known him, always looking for a better pair of boxing gloves. He's really quite amazing. Tyler, it's like sneakers. Ryan's never happy unless he has what he thinks.
Is he a connoisseur of the boxing gloves?
No, I just made that
It's
up.
Amazing what kind of workout you get with some boxing gloves, though. Should try
just
them out.
Go to joinfightcamp.com/reporters. Mr. Ryan leads us off.
Now, parting shots.
Remember the movie Bowfinger when filmmaker Steve Martin made a movie around superstar Eddie Murphy without Murphy knowing it? Well, in a variation of Bowfinger, I have inside word that Aaron Rodgers is making a secret documentary we're not supposed to know about. It'll be out next spring. Now think about this. Don't laugh. Think about this. The crazy off-season drama, the Jeopardy thing, the COVID vaccination shenanigans, sure. Yeah. The endless commercials, and of course, the on-the-field performances that have kept him in yet another MVP discussion. It all makes sense. It's tentatively titled, Ain't I Great? I can't wait to see it.
Happy birthday today to my friend, the great Billie Jean King, who turned 78. She's the fireman's daughter out of Long Beach, California, who came to tennis in the 60s and set about changing the world, and not just the tennis world. She didn't just become one of the best women's tennis players of all time in singles and in doubles. She became one of the most meaningful civil rights leaders over the last 30 years of the last century and continues to be one 2 decades into this century. She changed everything in women's tennis and women's sports as she refused to accept that women shouldn't have the exact same rights as men did. She essentially started the women's professional tour with a backing from another tough, brave woman named Gladys Hellman on $1 and a prayer. She did not stop and did not quit and even beat Bobby Riggs along the way. She does not stop. She does not quit. At a time when we need heroes in this country, Billie Jean remains one. Thank you for listening. I will be traveling for our family Thanksgiving on Wednesday, but Bob and Mitch will be back with you. We will be on Wednesday. The next one will drop Wednesday instead of Thursday. Continue to leave comments. To find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, wherever you find your podcast. Leave a comment. Leave a rating. We check out both of them. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. For my pal Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, have a great one.